captured photojournalist Shiraz Mohammed is pleading for his life in a video of the givers. As you understand, Mohammed was abducted on January 10th, 2017 in the vicinity of the Gift of the Givers Al-Rahma Hospital in Darqush, Syria. Now, he was captured along with two other aid workers, but the workers were released while he was questioned on what was believed to be a misunderstanding. But to tell us a bit more this morning, we are joined online by Gift of the Givers founder, Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman. Assalamu alaikum. Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, of course, Doc, firstly, you know, we saw the video emerging yesterday, but when exactly did Gift of the Givers receive this video?
It came to us on Friday night. You know, it has been a process. The whole thing has been a process for the last 2 and 3 years.
Hmm.
We've been approaching so many different people, different groups, academics, religious leaders, and a whole range of people. And that process carried on, and we've had so many people, dishonest people, liars, kind of stuff, you know, people with chances. We know how to catch them out. We've done this so many times before. But while following their trail, something strange happened on the 12th of April.
Mm.
From somebody we don't know, never heard of, they had no contact with before, we just get a message. That message was very, very significant. I can't give details about the message.
Mm.
The guy's life will be in danger.
Mm.
Maybe some other time. So he sends us a message in Arabic. I get Anas Al-Hamati to talk to him.
Yeah.
Anas is my Yemen officer, office manager, who took Yolandi Koki out. He communicates with him. That guy gives him a whole lot of leads. Eventually, we get one person. This person says, yes, I have connection to the people who are holding Shiraz. So Anas says, but like you, everybody says the same thing.
Hmm.
You know, so well, how can we believe you? You know, it's the same like everybody else. Nobody can bring anything to show. So what about proof of life? They said, yes, I can do that, but it will cost you. It's a new thing now, what the rebel groups, they have now decided not to make any more videos. It seems to be a general principle among themselves. If they do make it, they ask a lot of money for it. And in this case, they wanted, in fact, when we spoke about a video a few weeks ago to somebody else, they spoke about $300,000 just to get a video.
Sure.
We told them, sorry, we're not interested, keep it. And then this guy said, it'll cost you money. So we said, no, we're not interested in a video then. It's going to cost money.
Mm.
You know, so then make a video and put it on the international sites like you normally do. And, you know, in the previous days, you should release videos to show you're holding somebody in captivity. We didn't hear anything further from the guy.
Mm.
Suddenly on Friday night at 10 p.m., this video comes through from the same guy.
Doc,
no money asked.
Can we just understand, in terms of the video, how do we know that it's an authentic video?
You can't make a story with somebody. So it's in the video, Shiraz is holding a card with a date, 13th April, 2019. So it's very, very clear. The video was done 2 weeks ago. You know, it's not something that he showed us something in old picture. And that's how groups work. They have a certain principle about them.
Hmm.
To show something is current, the old days it was common to use the daily newspaper. They will show the newspaper with the date of the newspaper.
Hmm.
And you will say, okay, it's this date that it happened. Now, in this case, of course, they, for whatever reason, they didn't want to show a newspaper, but there's not many newspapers now in a war zone, so they just made a board. And, you know, from the information, from what you're speaking, inside the video itself, it's obvious it's current.
Okay. Now, in terms of going forward, now that you've gotten hold of this video, you've seen it, of course, he's asking the South African authorities for assistance. He's asking Gift of the Givers for assistance. What's the way forward?
Well, we have to wait for them now. They gave us the video, obviously, it's not for free. They're going to send us some message to say they want some kind of money or they want something else. So we expect we wait in the week, if not today, maybe sometime in the week, some message will come to say, we've given you the video, did you think about it? This is what we want. So we'll wait for that. In terms of the government, it's a standard law with all governments throughout the world.
Mm.
They don't talk to terrorists, they don't negotiate, they don't pay ransom.
Mm.
That's the normal way. But they do talk to the government of the country. And, you know, through the embassy of, say, South Africa in Syria, they can talk to the governor of the country. In Syria, it doesn't help because the governor of the country is not in control of the north. The north is controlled by a whole lot of rebel groups. So, and you can't have an embassy in a rebel area because they've stopped to recognize the government. So they have actually nobody to talk to, you know, in North Syria. So that makes it very difficult for them. The only way they can sort of get involved is to speak to the Turkish government, the Americans, the British and the French. They're all involved. They've all got their fingers inside Syria, in one, or even the Russians, in one way or the other. They all have their fingers there, and maybe, you know, through the intelligence services, they could assist. But that's now the initiative of the government. And the best way they could speak to is to the Qatar government, because the Qatar government has been known to take hostages out in many situations in many countries. And quite often you would say, you know, the Canadian government or the Japanese government or some government would say, you know, big thank you to the government, people of Qatar, for, you know, for freeing our hostage. And that's only one line in the comment. You won't hear anything else, but just an acknowledgement to the government. And Qatar has good influence inside Syria. They have it in Mali and in other places. So if anybody can help in this case, because Shiraz's family got no money to pay ransom. You know, he's not working for a big corporate company that do pay ransom, you know, in cases to take their stuff out. But here it is, a case of no money, no government's going to pay. The only option is to get maybe Qatar or somebody else who has an influence over these people to get rid of this.
Doc, what is the case with Shiraz? I mean, you know, he's still being held. A while back, you know, there were some comments coming through that he was not kidnapped, but that he actually joined the rebels. You know, what is your understanding of what's going on there?
It's obvious he hadn't gone to join the rebels. I mean, that's a nonsense story. People like saying things without testing, you know, providing proof. Shiraz is, if journalists know Shiraz, I've never met him. You know, I don't even know him.
Hmm.
It's only when he got on the other side, when he got into trouble, then I started to know about him. And I realized now that he had called me once or twice previously, wanting to go to Syria with us, with our teams, and somewhere else. And I already had the teams booked, so I didn't pay much notice. So I actually have never met Shiraz. I haven't known much about him either. So I started checking around with people. And people said, no, this guy is a very enthusiastic photojournalist. He likes to get into difficult situations. When I say difficult situations, situations where challenging. He has a very soft spot for people. He likes to take their pictures and send it to the world, because apparently he used to feed photographs and video to international media. So that's the reason he went into Syria. He couldn't join our initial team. And eventually, when it looked safe, that's the time when he went in. And people I spoke to, he is not the type of guy that would ever join any group. You know, he's not a very brave type of guy, apparently. They joke about that. And they say he's always asking for help, what to do. He spoke to some generals before he left. And all the information shows this is not the type of guy that will join a group. And the teams who did, my guys in hospital said, no, this is not the type of guy that will join the group. And they said he was captured. But all that is cleared when you see this video. He's not there to join any group. You know, his life is in danger by the group itself.
Is it surprising that he's still alive?
No, not surprising. You know, in cases like this, as long as it's not captured by ISIS or some other group that says that just executes people quickly to make a point, if he is caught by Al-Qaeda or any affiliates of Al-Qaeda, now when I say affiliates of Al-Qaeda, in Syria there's a flux. Today, everybody's part of Al-Qaeda. Tomorrow, they're somebody else. Next week, they're part of Al-Qaeda. The fourth week, they change the name. The fifth week, they're part of somebody else. The sixth week, they're part of Al-Qaeda. So it's been a total craziness. You don't even know who you're talking to every week. Somebody different, or a different name, or a different person. But in essence, they all came from the same root. And if they come from the same root, the one principle is the same. When they capture somebody for ransom purposes, if that's what they've captured for, and I almost guarantee that's what they caught him for. Although there's been a story to say that he's a foreign spy, and I'll explain that just now. But if they capture him for ransom, then it is a standard policy, or it's standard, you ask any hostage that has been released by Al-Qaeda, they were very well looked after, because you become a very expensive commodity. You have to be in good health, you have to have good food, according to what food they have in the desert, you have to be looked after, you have to make sure you don't get eaten, you get sick, you have to get a doctor to check you out, because you are worth money to us.
Right.
So they take good care of you. Well, the foreign spy part is something they've spun, because in their own rules, you've never seen ever in a video a Muslim guy held asking for help. Never.
Yeah.
Like all over the world, you'll never see any video footage where a Muslim person is held by a Muslim group and say, please come take me out. This is the first time. And they know for a fact, according to their own rules, this is not allowed. You know, they're not following their own rules. But of course, they got no rules. They got no law. They got no system. They act in the name of Islam, which is hideous. You know, and they then said he's a foreign spy. So we said, okay, we sent a message back to the people who said that they said that he's a foreign spy. You guys, they got their own court system. They have their own justice system. They can go to court, take him to the court, you know, and charge him. But with the evidence that we have, they couldn't do that.
Now, of course, you know, have you received any comment from the family of Shiraz Mohammed?
I'm in touch with them every other day. I've been talking to them for the last 2 years.
And how have they reacted to this video coming through?
they've been ecstatic. Because on last year, the first, all the time I told them, look, Shiraz is alive. I, you know, it's difficult to give people reassurance to say he was in Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda fully affiliated, he will be safe.
Mm.
It's still difficult to believe that if you haven't had experience of working in this thing.
Yeah.
You are in anxiety all the time. Secondly, you know, the bombs are falling everywhere. So he could get hit by one bomb. So it doesn't, it's not very comforting to say he's fine. Thirdly, all these rebel groups are always killing each other. So he could get caught in the crossfire. You know, that's a possibility. The only good point was in January last year, on the 8th of January, we had one of these chances. You know, we have a lot of chances saying we know this, that, and the other, and we know who's holding him and give us $5,000 and $10,000.
Yeah.
We tell him, go fly kite. We know your game.
Mm.
So one guy finally called us. He said, I can prove to you Shiraz is alive. I said, you're like one of the others. What can you do? So he said, what do you want me to do? So I said, okay, I'm going to send you a list of 10 questions.
Mm.
If the answers come correctly, Shiraz is alive.
Okay.
Wait in half an hour. The guy sent answers back, and Shiraz's family said those questions are 100, the answers are 100% correct. Shiraz is alive. Nobody else could answer those questions.
Ah,
so that was, again, a proof to them.
Mm-hmm.
But now another year has passed. Then the same story is in Al-Qaeda there, and he's safe, you know what, but the bombs are, you know, could be falling. And this video, because in their mind, okay, he's safe, but how is he looking? Is he injured? Has he got a plaster? Is he stitched? No, has he got some kind of dressings on him? How's he stayed? Has he lost weight? And the video is clear evidence that he's fine, his mental state is okay, he's alive, and he's asking for help. So they've been ecstatic about it.
Doc, very quickly, we have about 60 seconds to go. Now, going forward, we are waiting, you know, on them to stipulate either what's the ransom. How much are you willing to pay to give to them for Shiraz?
Zero. I've made it very clear from the beginning, you will not get any money from us.
Mm.
Gifts of the Givers don't pay ransom money.
Mm.
We're not in the business because we haven't been given money. Our donors don't give us money to give ransom.
Mm.
Our donors give us money for projects. We are only the facilitators for the family.
Mm.
The families have the choice to pay ransom or not.
Okay.
Governments have the choice to pay ransoms or not. Government makes it very clear, the family doesn't have money. So that's where the complicated part comes. If I had money, I can take Shiraz out in 3 days in any Al-Qaeda hostage situation in the world.
Right.
If you don't have money, you wait for years unless some elders come in or Qatar steps in or somebody else steps in. And we've got some plans, but I can't discuss it now.
Okay, well, Doc, thanks so much for that. We'll catch up with you once we hear further information coming through. But thanks for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
All right. Only a pleasure. And that was Dr. Imtiaz Suleiman, Gift of the Givers founder, speaking to us.